The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to the WordPress Community Podcast, the essential source for news and information on the most popular blog publishing tool on earth. Learn about the newest updates and plugins, as well as exclusive interviews with WordPress experts that are sure to help you enhance your skill set. Now, please welcome the hosts of the WordPress Community Podcast, Joost Ivanck and Frederik Downs.
Good evening, everyone. We are here for another WordPress podcast. I'm actually getting feedback for us, guys. We are going to talk about monetization today. Let's see if we can help you guys make some money from your blog. And maybe when Frederik starts talking, I'll get some good ideas to make a bit more money out of my own blog as well. So, Fred, do you actually make money out of your site?
It's a good question. I don't follow any traditional monetization best practices, which usually involve ads of some sort and things of that nature. I tend to just give lots of things away on the different sites in order to cultivate goodwill and relationships and community and things like that. So,
and create and get work out of it.
Right. And so maybe we could talk first about the, what is the word I'm looking for? Maybe the growing pains or the process that a blog goes through as it gets its feet under it. In other words, you know, we all start out with, well, a lot of the things that we talked about on the last show, trying to cultivate the traffic, and then as it develops, we all go through, you know, maybe starting with AdSense, and then ultimately getting into different ad networks that pay a bit better or more appropriate for your community, for your readership. Mm-hmm. Then looking at all the different channels that you have in terms of leads and monetizing sections of the site with AdSense or with ads as well. Potentially having sponsors of different sorts for the different sections of your site, depending on how big it is. Lots of things along those lines. And I think, obviously, there's this, it's not really a life cycle because you don't really want it to end, but there's certainly a process that your site goes through as it matures. I mean, Joost, what's your experience with Joost.com, for example?
Well, the funny thing is, I very, very early on when it was still joostdevalk.nl back in 2005 or something, I was doing some AdSense and basically making crap money because there was there's very, very little traffic. And AdSense is weird because most people start off with AdSense, but it only actually starts paying when you've got decent amounts of traffic. So after that, I went to selling my own ads, which was probably a better idea. But because I started selling the rectangles that I actually still have on my blog, but after a time, I found out that that was a lot of work. And then outsourced that to Bysolats, which I'm still with now. So that in a very quick flight is how I made money for my blog through traditional advertising over the years. Although I have to say that over the last 2 years, that money has been good, but the money from affiliate has been way better.
And by affiliate, you mean?
By affiliate, I mean, in my case, hosting affiliate stuff. WordPress hosting recommendations, stuff like that.
Well, just for the people who don't know, because ads are straightforward, affiliate marketing, for those who don't really understand or maybe even haven't heard of it, it's just a simple idea of being compensated for referrals for brands that you trust and obviously you can recommend. Sounds pretty straightforward, but I know that there's lots of people that are always getting into the affiliate type of monetization, so it's still new for some people.
Yeah, so where to start? So basically, I get paid for new clients, right?
Right, and it's good for you because you actually like the services that you're promoting. So you use them,
yeah.
You recommend them, and you know everyone wins, which is good business.
Yeah, it is good business, and well, especially in the hosting business, the payouts per new customer are quite nice. So if you've got a decent amount of readership, you can make really good money on that if you've got a community who trusts you, because it's all based on trust.
And for sites that don't lend themselves to different types of monetization, I mean, there's networks like ClickBank and Yoast. I'm sure you can think of others that you can turn to find some, you know, affiliate opportunities that are appropriate for your readership.
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't go for ClickBank myself. I urge people to have a look at stuff like Pepper Jam Network or Commission Junction or some of the a bit more high quality affiliate networks, and just look for companies that are in your space. But even better, look at the stuff you are using and check out whether they actually offer an affiliate program.
It makes me think. I'm sure I've seen a post about this on your site somewhere, so we'll probably have to link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
So ads, affiliate, and you know, you can obviously get into, depending on who your audience is, other types of monetization, like actually serving that audience or participating in it in the form of presenting at events that obviously people might purchase tickets to, obviously being invited to speak as an expert, which is something that Yoast has far more experience than the average person with. But
to be honest, you have to make it quite big before they actually start paying you decent money to do that. And in most cases, like WordCamps, you'll never get paid for that. So if you're lucky, they might cover your expenses, but you won't make real money out of that. So I look at speaking more as for a long time, I looked at speaking more as another way of marketing my blog than as a way of making money.
Sure. And for, you know, and I think you actually can get quite a bit out of it. I mean, there's lots of other industries that do quite well for speaking engagements. It's just it's another format in many cases of consulting, if not marketing. So, Yoast, do you want to talk as well about how cultivating a community around a particular topic cascades or converts into customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to be honest, that we recently had Copyblogger on for a short show, of course. He does it a bit more towards the product side of things, where he develops products for his readers and sells his own product. But what I do and what has basically allowed me to go solo is I sell myself. From the site analyses I sell to bigger consultancy projects. And I can honestly say that all of the big clients I'm working with today, ranging from eBay, Salesforce, customers of that size, have all come through either my blog or through Twitter as a result of the reputation I built through my blog. So I've actually considered, and I'm considering it more and more, to actually remove all the ads from my blog. The money's just a tad bit too good at the moment to do that. But at some point, if I get a couple more decent customers, I might actually do it, because I don't need it, and I think my blog would convert better into commercial services if there weren't any ads. So I might try that at some point.
So you're really speaking to, again, the life cycle that your blog goes through as, or your site goes through as you move further along. Like, for example, I even know some design agencies, again, focusing on these niches, but we should probably think out of the box a little bit. But I know of design agencies who on, like, the, quote, corporate landing pages of the site, they don't have any ads, but their blog is monetized with ads still.
Yeah, true.
So there's lots of ways that you can go with that, and I know that it's true in lots of dimensions. Like, for example, if you've got you've been producing content for years, it's great evergreen content like we discussed in the last show, you can actually, and you've got significant number of pages, like Yost said, you can have a tremendous amount of actually AdSense revenue just by having some really good placements and some customized look and feel. And you don't have to have it all over your site. You can place that strategically, maybe on specific sections or posts of a certain age and things like that. Like, it doesn't appear until, you know, it's a week old, or, you know, things of that nature. And then also take advantage of ads in different ways. Also, you know, maybe put together products or ebooks around old content, which is something that 37 Signals does pretty well.
Yeah, they are terrifically good at basically monetizing their old content by selling it, and some new content, of course. But
sure, and they're forthcoming about what they're doing. They say, "Well, hey, we blog for years, and we discovered these things, and we distilled that into a book format, and off we go."
Yeah, which is awesome. It's ridiculous what they make out of that. They've been pretty open about a lot of that stuff, which is really cool. And to be honest, there's quite a few people who could actually do that, and you see that happen a lot in the technology sector, mostly, of course, where you see big bloggers becoming published authors. On top of that,
right?
I've actually been approached a couple of times, but never had the time to do it. And I've recently tech edited a book about CSS Free by Peter Gaston, who used to be my my first co-author at CSSfree.info back when I still owned that. And he's actually, if I see the amount of time that he spent on that, it's ridiculous, but I'm quite sure that he'll get a lot back out of that over time, because he's the author of one of the first complete CSS3 books. So it's building reputation, which in the end leads into more money than ads will, probably. On the other hand, if you're very good at writing and would really like to make your money off of just writing a blog, then direct monetization like ads and affiliate are probably the better way to go, because then you can just do that all day. For me, the problem probably is that I actually don't like writing that much. I do it because I like sharing what I've discovered, but if you look through my posts, you'll discover that a lot of my posts on my blog are actually quite technical and tell you about what I've been doing and are about me sharing that and sometimes getting some proper feedback. But it's not like writing is my daily bread. Whereas if you see Christina Warren, who we had on the show as well recently, she wants to write all day.
Yeah, that's another interesting point that you raise about the value of the personal brand. I mean, once you have that credibility, that cachet, I mean, you can even look at building communities and basically exiting them. So sometimes things get too large, or you lose interest, or another project is more interesting, or things change. Maybe you become a parent, you know, all these different things in life, and you've got a great community, you can't maintain it. Selling a blog or site, once you've made it successful or gotten it to a point where it's valuable to anyone else, is also a way to monetize.
Absolutely. Chris Brogan is a very good example of that, I think. He's churning out a blog network at the moment, which is actually a very good idea. Because basically he's doing what he likes, and he's hired other people to do the stuff that he doesn't like about it. And he's basically making money off of consulting and his speaking gigs and stuff like a blog network.
So, Yost, what do you think? I mean, to sum up, I mean, there's lots of directions you can go. Do you think it's safe for us to put maybe a timeline on these things, or should we maybe talk about the different... some different industries and how things take shape and those, just for some perspective.
Yeah. Well, let's see where to start. I think that if you're, it's not really a timeline thing, but mostly about what do you want to reach with your blog? If you don't have to make money out of it straight away and you're planning on building very good content, I would actually not put ads on it for quite a while, because that might grow your blog faster, because in all honesty, blogs do better in social media when there's no ads on them. So for that reason, you might want to keep them off quite a while if you're planning to get your blog to grow and grow big. If you want to monetize immediately, you should probably go do something else. It's quite hard to monetize a blog straight off the bat.
That's true. Just the same is true for, you know, ranking on Google, for example, you know, in week one, unless you're trying to rank for like a 16-word key phrase or something.
Yeah. Although it is a bit simpler sometimes if you use like a WordPress.com or stuff like that. But still, it is quite hard to get your stuff ranked. So I get a lot of people asking me, like, I want to become a pro blogger. What do I do? And to be honest, the first answer always is, well, you work your ass off for 3 years, and then after that, you get to reap the rewards. But it's usually not the other way around.
Yeah, which pretty much sounds like, you know, university, except, right? But you can,
yeah, you can, yeah, do it, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And it's not, you don't get a title at the end of it. You basically have nothing to show for it except for a lot of content.
Well, I suppose you can give yourself a title, right? And you can, if you live up to it, you'll actually get to wear it.
True. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, but the thing is that people sometimes think that it's an easy way to make money, and there's no such thing as free money. I mean, you always have to work for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's people who would argue that point, but I definitely would agree with you, Yost.
Well, you're free to argue. But
well, I don't want to condone some of the things that people do. So I'm definitely going to stand on your side there. I know that there's someone who will listen to this that's doing something a little too easily, let's say, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's true. To be honest, I was at a gaming conference last weekend, a conference in the iGaming sphere, so poker, casino, stuff like that. I don't do any work in that industry myself because of mostly legal reasons, because most of it's illegal here in Holland. But yeah, some of these people seem to make too much money too easily. The issue is that I don't actually like a lot of that and the things they make money with. So there's too much of a moral compass to to make money that way, I guess.
So, when it comes time to put together your roadmap, what we're suggesting is, you know, things don't necessarily go the way that you plan because you can't control everything. But what we're suggesting is that there's lots of avenues to pursue, and it's best to just set your target, put in the hard work, make friends along the way, have some fun, and the net result, provided that you don't repeat things that don't necessarily work, like just, you know, SEO best practices are coming to mind for some reason, but as long as you continue to move forward, you will see all of these benefits. I think one of the more longer term, or not longer term, but one of the most beneficial things over the long haul are things like developing the personal brand so that you can do consulting in whatever area that you deal in. It's really, lawyers and legal consult is a great example of that, for example. And then also producing products, so things that you produce once and you sell multiple times, you know, ebooks and just regular books is a great example. But there's other things that are productizable, if you will. Yost, do you have any off the top of your head?
Well, it's stuff like my site analysis, which is basically a pretty quick analysis of a WordPress site based on my experience, which is what people read about all the time. But if they want to apply to them, usually what these products are is you apply something, the stuff that you've been sharing all the time, you either combine it into one big easy to read format or such as an ebook, or you apply it specifically to a person. At which point, I guess it becomes consultancy, but you can make it easier on yourself.
That's a good point. So, go ahead.
We're talking about money, right? Webmaster Radio wants to make some money as well. So we're going to go for a quick commercial break and then come back and talk a bit more about monetization.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more WordPress Community Podcast after this.
It's time again to make your plans to be at SES New York 2011. SES New York 2011 makes its way to the New York Hilton March 21st to the 25th. SES New York 2011 will feature over 70 sessions, over 100 exhibitors, and networking opportunities with thousands of marketing and search engine optimization professionals. SES New York 2011 will start with a high-profile opening keynote from Yahoo's principal research scientist, Duncan Watts. Thursday, March 25th is the Online Marketing Summit's All Things Digital Best Practice Day, which features a full day of premium breakout sessions. Don't delay. Come to SES New York 2011. March 21st to the 25th inside the New York Hilton. Register right now at searchenginestrategies.com and get 20% off your registration when you use promo code WMR20. Register right now at searchenginestrategies.com and use promo code WMR20.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Your mission, initiate internet marketing measures. Your arsenal, the weapons of mass marketing.
Learn how to accomplish your internet marketing initiative with the do-it-yourself tools and directives from the commanding leaders of cyberspace. Weapons of Mass Marketing, presented by RavenTools.com. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
The WordPress Community Podcast continues, only on webmasterradio.fm. Once again, here's Joost de Vock and Frederik Towns.
So, when we're talking about advertising, selling advertising on your blog, of course, that one of the things to think about is scarcity.
I see a lot of these blogs who start to try and make money, who have like four "your ad here" spots open on their site. You must have seen those too, Frederik. I mean,
everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's actually a very, very stupid idea. Because if I want to advertise on your site and I see like four people or four open ad spots, I'm like, okay, there's a price there, but I can probably take half away from that because he's got four empty spots anyway. So you'll end up with pretty shitty ad rates, which is why I think you should only show one of these one such spot, if any. I try to sell out before that happens.
That's a great point. It reminds me of Todd Garland from Buy Sell Ads. He's the founder of Buy Sell Ads, and some of the tips that he had. So I guess let's launch into a few more tips. One of them from Todd was actually sell larger placements, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which, to be honest, it depends a bit on your blog. I really don't like selling too much larger placements. I do like selling unique placements, but that's pretty hard. But for instance, if you look at Mashable, what they do together with Microsoft and there's the Microsoft BizSpark stuff, that's like a unique combination of advertising and content. That is pretty cool.
So you mean sponsored posts?
Well, yeah, but it's not just that, right? It's ads as well, because there's obviously ads everywhere. Like this section is sponsored by Microsoft, so it's a good combination. And it's actually a good combination as well, because Microsoft BizSpark is there for startups, and the whole section is about startups. So if you can find a combination like that, where you can have a company sponsor a certain section of your blog, if your blog is big enough for that, that's actually a pretty cool combination and way more of an added value than just having another 125 by 125 or 260 by 260.
Right. That's exactly what I touched on earlier. I think for AdSense tips, before I forget, there's a number of different placements that work. Some of them are not terribly exciting to users. That's why, I mean, users don't like ads in general. But that's why putting them on posts or content that's older or evergreen is really works, because obviously if the content's great, I mean, people don't care, obviously. And, you know, Google can, let's face it, do a decent job of showing some additional relevant content. But the point is to put like a 300 by 250 text box, or maybe ad box, excuse me, I should say banner, right there above your main content, or, you know, even in a, oh geez, what are the dimensions? It's a 728 by 60 slot, or even skyscrapers and super banners. Basically, whatever's above the fold, and unfortunately, whatever actually interrupts the reader, actually convert best.
But not in the typical banner blindness area, right?
Right. And so, you know, having ads, you know, most, if you've got an American site, for example, or English site, excuse me, having a banner on the left side, or having a contextual ad on the left side, or above the main or the first paragraph, things like that, or even in line in a post, you know, somewhere below the fold, you know, after the user has to scroll a bit. All of these things realize more click-throughs and more AdSense revenue, or more, or just in general, more visibility. And they're favored amongst advertisers when they see that you have those placements. as opposed to, you know, a lot of people used to have like a super banner or something above the footer. It's, you know, it's still a placement. It still gets some traffic, but it's not valuable.
No, so it's not going to result in a lot of clicks usually. And the thing is, these things might get a lot of views in the way that they're accounted, but they're, because they're not often scrolled to, an advertiser would probably not be willing to pay a very a high price for that.
Right, and advertisers are more savvy than they were just even a couple of years ago. So they're looking at clicks, they're figuring out demographics and conversion rates and so forth. So it's not just about getting them signed up. You know, everyone has to win in order for things to work long term.
Yeah, exactly. And it also means that you actually have to look at who you're taking advertising from. I actually reject advertisers on a pretty regular basis because they do stuff I don't agree with. So they either have screaming ads that say buy PR9 links or stupid stuff like that, or they blatantly advertise selling non-GPL WordPress themes, for instance. And I'm not going to get into the GPL discussion here, but it's like I don't want advertisements for stuff like that on my blog. So it's probably a good idea to think about that. When you take advertising, like, what is this advertising saying about my site?
Absolutely. So that's that moral compass piece again, which, you know, is part of, you know, the brand that you're building, maybe for this particular site, one of many, or blog, one of many that you might have, or for your personal brand. So there's no escaping accountability.
No, especially not on the web, which people tend to forget every once in a while. They forget that that what they do now will still, people will still remember in like 10 years.
Right. It might be caught in archive.org or Google's cache, right?
So yeah, exactly. And I made some mistakes in the very beginning of my blogging when nobody read my blog, luckily. But like 2 years back, someone came to me and he'd been reading through all my old posts. And he said, what's this post about? It was like one of my first posts. It was actually a paid post. And it was just plain stupid. And I was like, yeah, that was an early mistake. But I got rid of the post after that. You don't want to be remembered for stuff like that. So if you do stupid posts or try to make money off your readership in a bad way, that it might turn bad on you in many ways.
And that reminds me of something else, and I'm not going to name names, but I don't recommend, no matter how great the relationship is with your community, I don't recommend one day out of the blue, or even just in the blue, if you will, saying to them, hey, we need money. Will you please take this action?
No.
Please, you know, support the, you know, because there's a difference between like these crowdsourcing sites where you can donate whatever you like based on the merit of someone's project and things like that, and someone who you know, imagine, you know, your best friend or your sibling or something, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden they just call you, hey, I need $1 million, I need money, you know, like, doesn't matter how much you love them, you're going to be like, what happened? You know, there's going to be shock there. And that's not something that you want to create. I mean, people are accustomed to parting with some money in exchange for value. So there's nothing wrong with making or promoting what you're doing, but to, you know, to make it look like charity or something like that, I just don't encourage that. I mean, begging or things of that nature, you just don't want to create that situation.
No. And absolutely not. I do have donation buttons, for instance, in my plugins, but I've always resisted making them bigger because it just looks sad. And I actually want users more badly than that I want donations.
Right. I mean, people ask me why I don't have donation links and buttons at all in W3 Total Cash, and why I don't charge for it at all. And so, you know, the point is really to actually find the bugs in the damn thing and make it work. And when it has, you know, enough value, maybe there's an opportunity. I mean, I know for a fact, actually, in terms of monetization, that there's several businesses that you know, individuals and hosting companies that use that tool as one of their primary tools in their toolbox, you know, the same way that, you know, a carpenter uses a hammer, right? So
yeah,
there's lots of things you can do, and it doesn't have to all boil down to outright saying you have to pay me or it won't work.
No, and it's just, you see these stories happen on blogs quite often where people go a bit sad because they're not as successful as they thought they'd be, or they're not making as much money as they thought they would be with their blog or whatever. And I can actually honestly say that I've been in that position a couple of times where I thought, why am I making shit money when I'm doing all this? And people think that you're a very good SEO or whatever, and you still think, okay, I'm on a monthly salary and I'm not making much on the side, I'm doing something wrong. Well, you're not. Just keep building a brand, and at some point you'll get the chances to make the real bigger bucks or the real big bucks. I still feel that I should be making more than I do, but I think that's perpetual with me.
Well, yeah, I don't think it ends, right? Probably because of inflation and other things.
But true.
So I think that feeling is normal. So for those of you who wonder if you're quote-unquote greedy because you need more money, no, that's not the case. Everyone actually needs more money for some reason.
Yeah, it's a weird thing called capitalism, I guess.
Right. I mean, I suppose, you know, if you know, I'm not picking on anybody, but if, you know, hosting didn't cost any money, you know, groceries didn't cost any money, electricity didn't cost any money, I suppose it would be a different world, but unfortunately, that's not what we have yet.
There's a communist hiding in between us somewhere. Okay, so we've covered quite a few things there. Do you have any other killer tips you think people should think about when monetizing their blog? Or do we really just agree on the fact that you should keep your should do it, but keep your readers in mind all the time? I think that's the big thing out of this, right?
Indeed, that is the bottom line. Create scenarios where everyone wins. You know, no victimizing or capitalizing, if you will, or taking advantage.
Yeah, and don't shut down your site and ask for money for it to return, unless you're doing it for a good cause. So not yourself, but you say, like, okay, that might actually be a very good action to close down Yoast.com for a day and see how much money we can get for cancer research.
Well, that reminds me of something that's not, you know, cancer's not funny, but it reminds me of something that I saw a long time ago on South Park. So Cartman, for anyone who likes cartoons, which, you know, I actually feel are mostly for adults considering the content, Cartman actually buys a theme park, you know, like Six Flags Great America, and then decides that he's not going to let anyone go there and creates a scarcity scenario. And then promotes the theme park with some remnant ads that he had on television, and then ultimately creates all, you know, for a failed park, creates all of this interest because of false scarcity scenario. So that's kind of what you were talking about, Yoast. I don't recommend doing that. I mean, you can do that for products, say, you know, 30 days, you know, use this coupon for this discount. I think that's reasonable. But, you know, putting a big paywall in front of your site all of a sudden after you developed a community is definitely not a good idea.
No, absolutely not. With that, we're going to wrap it. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, which I'm trying to remember very hard now. and yes, Brasco, that's a hint. It's 9 p.m. CET, which means 8 p.m. GMT, which probably means about 2 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific, something like that. It's 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Eastern or 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right? Yeah.
Right, that's it, yep.
Yeah, so I got the Pacific right. I don't know why I'm better at Pacific time than any other time zone in the world. It's ridiculous. It's probably because all the people I talk to live in that time zone these days.
There you go.
Anyway, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern next week on Wednesday. Be there and listen. Talk to you then.
Ciao.